Turn in the Word to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So good to see you here. I sense a buzz of excitement throughout the congregation. I will have to say, though, without your mask, I didn't recognize about half of you. But you look good. You look pretty, all dressed up and smiling. Let me say a couple of things. One is, I don't know if this is appropriate. Maybe you already know it, but Danny, is it Danny Gordon? Is this your last day, Danny? I don't know all of the details. I've grown to love Danny, and he's a good fella, and I've broken bread with him. But anyway, he's headed on somewhere. I don't know, north of here? Oh, you're going. So bless him. You'll be missed, I know. I have a little, I have a scar. The doctor said, you're going to wear this big patch for 11 days and then come back and get the stitches out. But I couldn't wear it today. I mean, I decided, I thought back in the old days when you had a little bit wound, wasn't it supposed to get air? Y'all remember that? Let it get air so it can heal anyway. My wife did not hit me with a frying pan. I've been teasing people. They say, what happened to your head? And I said, nothing happens good after midnight. You know that. I should have left that bar, earlier than I did, And some people laugh. Yeah, that's not the truth. I had a mole removed, okay? So how boring is that, right? I asked the doctor, I said, are you putting stitches in yet? And he said, no, we're still moving skin around. I know I'm getting old when all of my doctors and dentists, they're half my age. Fresh out of med school, but that's good. I like it. I like it. There's some great doctors. If you don't know the Athens area, I guess it's the university influence or something. But anyway, enough about all of that information. What I have to say from this point forward is much, much more important. I'm bringing a message from the spiritual it factor. The books are back there. There's still a bunch. You're not taking them fast enough. Even if you aren't readers, find somebody who is, because people need to know about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you, I think there's going to be a renewed interest in the work of the Spirit. I just feel it in my bones, and you can learn a lot right here. It's chock full of Bible verses and Bible references, and so it's there. If you don't have the $5, take one anyway. It doesn't matter, but it's an easy little read, and so that's my little plug for today, the spiritual it factor, the person and work of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. And we talked about, every Sunday we talk about this, every day we should talk about this, of course, but the most important thing that could happen in your life is you're saved, right? I mean, I don't think anybody could argue with that. For the believer, the most important thing that could happen for anyone is that you're saved. The second most important thing that could happen would be that the Holy Spirit moves from resident to president. Because when you're saved, he takes up residency. But I think there's a growth process. You get all of the Holy Spirit you're going to get, but nevertheless, there is a growth process. There is a feeling. There is an intellectual growth. There is a spiritual growth. You need to learn more about the work of the Holy Spirit. You need to know about the gifts of the Spirit. And you need to know about the fruits of the Spirit. Now, last week I preached kind of a general introductory message on the fruits. Today we're going to talk about them, all of them. The fruit of the Spirit, writes Paul. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Father, I pray you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. A very simple message today. 9 points. I have to warn you, I'm watching closely at the clock, and I am aware that there's some business to be conducted. 9 points. That's scary, isn't it? But you know what they are, don't you? The 9 fruits listed. By the way, gifts, which I'll, depending on, you know, where we get the next few Sundays, but we'll talk about gifts. Gifts are unique to the Christian. I have different gifts than Mike has and Bill has and Efren has. We all have different gifts. We'll talk about those. But the fruits, we should all demonstrate all the fruits. There's no option. The first one is this. Love. So when you go home and somebody say, what did the pastor preach on today? You can say, he preached on love. Is it a surprise that it's the first one on the list? No, not at all. Agape is the word. That means unconditional love. And that's the kind of love that we should demonstrate. Pure, peerless, perfect love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So don't say you didn't hear the gospel today. You heard the gospel today. Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, he was raised, he ascended to the Father, where he remains today at his right hand, interceding on our behalf, and he's coming back again one day. And it all centers around what? Love. Stephen Overford, the preacher, was telling about a time he grew up in Africa on the mission field, and he was on a banana boat from Lobito Bay on the west coast by way of Lisbon, Portugal. One of the sailors became seriously ill with an infectious disease. And back in those days, boy, the captains of the ship got really nervous, didn't they? He thought, no way we're going to let this infectious disease spread. So they set the guy by the very edge of the boat. And the thought was, when nobody was looking, somebody would just come by and sort of, you know, push him overboard. Well, Stephen Ofer's mother, who apparently was a very godly woman, found out about this. She went to the captain and said, I'm a missionary. I demand in the name of my God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I serve, that nothing be done to that man until I finish with him. If you act otherwise, I will report you. She washed the man, medicated him, prayed for him day after day, took care of him. And guess what? Light returned to his eyes. By the time the ship arrived in Lisbon, he was able to stand. Stephen Ofer says, I saw him throw his arms around my dear mother and say, she's the only one in the world who loved me. That man got saved and stayed in touch with that Ofer family for many, many years. Love. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. What? You love one another. Love. But that's only 1 of 9. I have 8 more. The next one is joy. Oh, you know how much I talk about that. I mean, I love it. Does this mean, preacher, that we're always happy, that things are always going our way, that we're always in a good mood, that our team always wins and it's always a bright and sunny day? Of course not. That's not what it means. But what it means, no matter what happens, no matter what circumstances come up, We are sustained by a presence of deep joy. I know you say, preacher, do you always experience that? No. I want to. It too often eludes me. And I don't like that. But I yearn for that, and I seek to be sustained by joy, especially as I go through that last third of life, as I talked about. They rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem, and the children of Israel, they were grieved as Ezra read from the law. They were weeping. And Nehemiah, their governor, said, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." That's my word for you. That's my word for Crossroads on this day. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You've heard me say before, factors that attract unsaved people to churches. Yes, unsaved people are still coming to churches. And you know the number one factor, I do believe this was years ago, but it's still true. Number one, joy demonstrated in lives of Christians in every area. Joy. Looking at David in Psalm chapter 51. Here's what David said. David really fouled up. You know, I'm not going to go into all those details again. I use him so much as an illustration. But during the course of his confession and repentance, he said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit." Don't you love that? Restore to me the joy. Oh God, that should be our prayer every day. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, oh God, and sustain me with a willing spirit. When you feel those clouds gathering and Satan trying to come in and steal your joy, say, "Oh God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation." Joy, joy, joy. It can happen. It's there for the taking. I'll tell you it is. Believe it. But only through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And what's next? Peace. We've talked about that a lot too over the last several months, haven't we? Peace. We talked about different kinds of peace in the Bible. There is peace with God. Paul writes about it in Romans. Peace with God. You see, if you're lost, you're a child of the devil and you're at war with God. But when you get saved, when you receive Christ as your Savior, when your sins are forgiven, you repent, then you establish that peace with God. It is salvation. As we learned a few weeks ago, it is synonymous with baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if somebody asks, "You've been baptized in the Spirit?" You say, "Absolutely. The moment I was saved, I was baptized with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit." But then there's the peace of God that Paul also writes about in Philippians. Let me give you an example of something that happened to me just this week. I made a new friend this week. Lives over in Johns Creek. We met over in Braselton. I can recommend highly Pat's Eatery in Braselton. We met halfway. He's representative of the North American Mission Board, and we met fascinating guy, a lover of preachers. And he said, "Let me tell you about my testimony." He graduated, went to work for Procter & Gamble. If you're familiar with Tide and all those, you know, huge conglomerate of a corporation. He was working for Procter & Gamble, and he was rising star in the company. But he said, I was nervous, and I was uptight, and I was, he described it. He said, but there was a man within the organization, they were at a function, they were socializing together, playing basketball or something. He said, I noticed he was at peace. he had something that I didn't have. Now, keep in mind now, he's probably in his early, mid-20s by now. He said, you've got something I don't have. What is it? He said, it is a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, they got saved. That was the late 70s. And I'll tell you, this guy is one of the most, I wouldn't use the word dynamic. I would just say sweet, joyous people that I've come across recently. He sure was an encouragement to me. But here's what I thought about that. I thought, somebody who had the peace of God was able to help someone achieve peace with God. You understand what I just said? Let me say it one more time. Somebody who had the peace of God was able to help a person find peace with God. Examine your life. I mean, would people look at you and if they followed you around for 2 or 3 days and say, I want what you have? That's a good test, isn't it? If you were brought before a judge and jury and convicted or accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would the fruits be there? Peace. Isaiah said, God will keep in perfect peace. What? He whose mind is stayed on thee. So we're 1/3 of the way through. We're doing pretty good. You know what the next one is? Patience. Oh, you know you're going to hear my favorite story again, aren't you? I got to thinking, there's probably some stories I've told 2 or 3 times in the last 9 months, and I know this is one, and it's one of my favorites. Remember Joseph Parker, that famed British preacher? He was pacing the floor of his office. A deacon peeked in and saw what was going on and said, sir, is something wrong? Sir, is something wrong? He said, you bet there is. I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. Patience. Oh, my goodness. It's there, and I see this one, and I think, ugh. Our modern society has spoiled us, hasn't it? Our modern society has spoiled us. We turn a knob and water comes out. We flip a switch and light comes on. We push a button and the garage door goes up. If you have a garage, we click a mouse now, don't we, Mike? We click a mouse and that opens up a whole new world, doesn't it, with the click of a mouse. But nevertheless, things don't always go as we have planned, do they, as we plan. Patience. Oh, you know, I've divided it up between patience with people and patience in situations. Patience with people. I heard someone say, you know, I love Jesus. It's just people that I can't stand. Has that ever been your testimony? You can laugh, it's okay. Ah. They're different than me. They're difficult to be around. Raise your hand if there's anybody in your life that's difficult to be around. If it's your spouse sitting next to you, then Lord be with you. I don't want to make a liar out of you, but if on the way home they say in the car, was that me you were raising your hand about? No, honey, of course not. That was not you. Situations. People, I know you're tired of hearing about this one. Oh, and I apologize in advance. But what if, y'all know us well enough, what have we been looking for about 9 months now? Yeah. Either, y'all could talk the rest of the time, and I don't want to go into, you don't want to hear my sob stories. Because I don't want to bore you with them. Because you've heard about, you know, how many times have I heard, preacher, you just don't realize. A 2x4 used to cost $2. Now it costs $12. I mean, I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for getting ugly. But I know the price of lumber has gone up. I know the people who deliver the cabinets are getting, whatever they're getting. What are those checks they're getting? So they don't want to work because they get paid for staying home. I hear all of that. I'm just telling you, if you're not looking for a house right now, if you're satisfied where you are, better praise God. And I think what some people are doing, I'm getting off track here, Mike, but I think what some people are doing, they're saying, wow, people are making big money selling their houses, aren't they? But my question is, where are you going to live when you sell it? You got to go buy another one, unless you're moving into, why did I go into that tirade? Because it is, but I think, it's just a house. Who cares? My little grandkids are healthy. It'll work out. But I'll be honest with you, I'm confessing my sins. I've been a little disappointed in the way that I have personally responded to this process over the last few months. And people say things like, well, God's just blocking it because he's got something really great for you. And I want to believe that, and I do believe that. I'm not going to doubt that. But it is what it is. It's been good. And I tell you all that because that's what came to mind, patience. Who cares? I'll tell you this, we got a great rental situation. Our lease is up. I called my landlord. She's a nice lady. She said, don't worry about it. We're just month to month. And, it's all good, isn't it? If I went on too long about that, forgive me for that. But it just demonstrates how God is in the process of stretching us. Yours may be tests. You might have gone in for tests. You might have gone in for tests and you thought it might be cancer, and it's not. And that's good news, isn't it? Situation. Oh, here, do we have a verse? I asked for one verse on the screen. Let's see if we can get that on there. Thank you. Modern technology. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. I say, wait on the Lord. Can I tell you something? And, I'll be 63 in October, and I'm to that point now where my hair is falling out, and I'm getting moles removed from my face. And God usually, I'm just telling you, he usually moves slower than we want him to. I know. You say, wait a minute. He parted the Red Sea. Wait a minute. He fed the 5,000. A big fish that swallowed up Jonah and then spit him out unharmed. I know he did. And I know he does. And I know he can. But I'm saying, generally speaking, he works slower than we want him to. I'm just going to leave it at that and move on, okay? So don't lose heart. Kindness. I'm watching my time. This is so important, folks. This is so important, this message. Kindness. That means a good disposition. That means an absence of temper. A good disposition, an absence of temper. Oh, God. Why is this verse so convicting? Am I the only one in the house under conviction right now? Raise your hand if this is touching you just a little bit. Gosh, I hope some of you. Please. It did me. Kindness. Kindness. Where have you been, kindness, for the last year? It disappeared, didn't it? Gosh, I could tell you more stories. I didn't get in fist fights, but I got into, should you use the word altercation? Does that imply fist? I got into verbal altercations in Publix. I told you that I got within 5 feet of her. She said, stop! That was a long time ago. And then there was the man at the ice cream counter. I got tired of waiting for him, buddy. He was there, and so I'm looking. So I stepped, and he said, well, whatever happened to social distancing? I won't tell you the rest. I thought I was going to get praise God I didn't get into a fist fight with a 75-year-old man at the ice cream counter at Publix. That would have ruined me, wouldn't it? They probably have video on those things, don't they? Like surveillance cameras. Breaking news. Preacher gets in fight with 75-year-old man at the ice cream counter. Kindness. Whatever happened to it? Is it going to come back? Is it coming back? I hope so. It's in short supply. Oh, the Bible says, be ye kind one to another, doesn't it? It makes a comeback. I think it's starting to. I'm optimistic. Is that a word we can use? Can that be a spiritual word? Optimistic? I hope so. D.L. Moody, another one of my favorites, as you know. He was the Billy Graham of the 19th century. And when you make a meteoric rise like he did, you're a target, right? He was, a man that was probably not of culture like some would have preferred, but highly successful on both sides of the pond. But you know what? They build you up to what? They build you up to what? Tear you down, right? So they were working on him. They were coming at him from every angle. And D.L. Moody said, quote, I made up my mind to keep sweet. You cannot do any good unless you keep sweet. I tell you, I think if you see guys, and I've heard of this with other guys, I think that's the key. Oh, sweet. Stay kind. Be ye kind one to another. But you don't understand, preacher. That guy, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff he believes. I mean, you wouldn't believe. I'm right and he's wrong. So I'm going to be unkind. I deserve it. What happens to the Holy Spirit in that situation? You chased him away, didn't you? Be ye kind. We're almost done. I'm watching my time. I know we got this meeting coming up, but y'all need this, and I need this. Goodness. Goodness. Why doesn't it say greatness? I thought about this. Why doesn't it say greatness? It doesn't say love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, greatness. Because you know why? Greatness I've deserved tends to go to people's heads. Not all of the time, but most of the time. Greatness tends to go to people's heads. Look in the Bible. I mean, Herod, wasn't he the one that was thinking he was something and then he just happened bad? There's one of those kings. See, I'm racking my brain here. Who was one of the kings in the Old Testament who, during the Elijah-Elisha reign, God, who it was? Ahab, maybe? Who was the guy that built the statue to himself? I mean, they're still doing that, aren't they? Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. I hope you see this. One of my favorite characters in the Bible, you know who it is by now, don't you? Barnabas. Barnabas. What do you know about Barnabas? You don't know a lot about him, do you? And he wouldn't care. You know all about Paul. You know very little about Barnabas. But you know what the Bible says about Barnabas? He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. I wrote up something. You can decide whether you think this is good or not. You've heard that thing, behind every great man, there's a great woman. I wrote something else. Maybe it'll take off, and I'll become great and famous after this quote takes off. You ready for this? No, I'm just kidding. Behind every great man are a whole bunch of good men and women. Behind every great man are a whole bunch of good men and women. I've been watching this series called The Men Who Built America on the History Channel. And there's Ford, and there's Vanderbilt, and there's Rockefeller. It's pretty fascinating. Great men. But I tell you what, they wouldn't have gotten to first base with a bunch of good men and women grunting it out, doing the work. Am I right about that? Because you see, a good man who is not great is 1,000 times better than a great man who's not good. A good man who's not great is 1,000 times better than a great man who's not good. We have too many. Turn on the TV and learn before sundown about another great man who's not good. I want to learn more about the good men who aren't. They're the people that are grinding it out, folks. They're the people grinding it out. You hadn't heard of them. Good men, good women. You know when I say that, I mean both. Like the Marines, the kingdom is in need of a few good men. Okay, we got three more. We're going to zip right through these. Faithfulness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Faithfulness. You know what that means? Faithfulness. That means that you're full of faith. We come into the kingdom by way of faith, right? For it is by grace that you have been saved through what, Mike? Faith. We grow in the kingdom on the basis of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. I was looking here. Let me look. This is a last-minute addition to the sermon, if I can find it. Just hang in there with me. The Impala. Anybody drive an Impala out here? You know this, it's named after what? The impala, right? It's an animal. Did you know the African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet? Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will land. Did you know that? You learn something new. The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will land. Well, oh, my goodness. No wonder our churches are covered up with people afraid to jump because they don't know where their feet are going to land. That's an indictment, isn't it? People afraid to fail. I think that's really that generation, that baby boomer generation, I'm afraid. And I'm saying that. I can say this now. No indictment of my parents. They were good people, good Christian people. May they rest in peace. I miss them. I love them. I love them. I can't wait to reunite with them in heaven. But I'm afraid that our generation, the emphasis for a lot of us was, and maybe still is, don't fail. Whatever you do, don't fail. Are anybody with me on this? Maybe you were brought up a little different than I was in my community, but just make good grades, show up on time for the job, heaven forbid, don't get fired, you know, keep that good name. Those are all important things. But I'm afraid that we've just come so prickly and we're just so fearful. We're so neurotic and we're so fearful of rejection. Heaven forbid. Woo! We just wilt, don't we? I said something and I offended you and you don't like it. Woo! I'm going to go crawl in a hole and just hang out there for a few days because you offended me. I need therapy. I need pills. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, folks. I'm just telling you. It's just sucked all the faithfulness away, I'm afraid. Jump! Use your head. There's common sense involved, but I take this stuff very seriously. I'm looking back on you. I've got a third of my life left. And have I lived a life avoiding risk because I hated rejection and I couldn't stand failing? Let me tell you what. Religious, industry, education, military, athletics, entertainment, whatever it is. Because people don't generally like to just talk about their failures, but I want to tell you, they were probably shaped way more by their failures than their successes. Demonstrate faith. Other points, okay, 6 or 7 minutes. Okay, I got hung up because all of these are just speaking. Faith, gentleness. Gentleness seems a whole lot like kindness to me. They seem like twins, but they are different. The King James Version says meekness. So I got to thinking about, you know, we live in a time where meekness is looked at negatively, isn't it? You're familiar with Moses? You've watched the Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston. Moses with that staff, and he looks like he could take on a bear and a lion, and, you know, and maybe he could. But you know what the Bible says about Moses? Now, the man Moses was very meek, above all the men which were on earth, the face of the earth, was very meek, the most meek. Check me out, Numbers chapter 12, verse 4. The meekest man. What about Jesus? Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? Because I am gentle and humble in heart. The world praises and uplifts and celebrates the strong man, doesn't it? But I see an emphasis on meekness, gentleness. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, folks. I'm just telling you what we need to be more like. One more and we're done. Every time I read one of these, I'm like, come on, Lord, give me a break. Do I score high on any of these? Self-control? Self-control, don't overreact. The word is temperance. We're able to throw and control not only our actions, but the thoughts that generate those actions. Do you remember a couple little illustrations and we're done? Remember Jesus in the garden? The authorities came for him that night before Jesus went to the cross. And impetuous Peter did what? Drew the sword and cut off the servant's ear. This was a man who weeks later would preach that great sermon at Pentecost. This was a man who helped launch the early church, who lacked self-control. Whew. Self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Francis Xavier was truly a humble servant of the Lord. He was preaching in Japan. As he was speaking, a man came up out of the audience as if he was going to say something to him privately. So naturally, he was willing to listen. The missionary leaned his head to one side. Suddenly, instead of whispering, the unbeliever used the occasion to spit upon the face of the devoted missionary. Xavier, without a word or at least sign of annoyance, took out his pocket handkerchief, wiped his face, and went on with the gospel message.
the disinterest and scorn which his audience had been showing up to that point immediately turned to admiration. A learned doctor in that city who happened to be present thought to himself that a religion that taught men such virtue, inspired them with such courage, and gave them such complete mastery over themselves could not be other than from God himself. He investigated the claims of Christ and soon became a Christian. Self-control. Jesus humbled himself. They spit on him too, didn't they? They beat him beyond the point of recognition. They mocked him. They falsely accused him. Did he lash back? No. He went to the cross willingly on our behalf in order that our sins might be forgiven. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Father, we thank you for the day. May these words just penetrate and sink into our heart. Guide us, Lord. Help us. We all need help in all of these areas, and we're dependent on you to through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring that about in Christ's name. And Lord, we just look forward to wrapping up this hour with very important business that needs to be conducted in the life of this great church, because we know great days are ahead in Christ's name.